Logos, a circle of golden film tape frames a lion's head. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Light outlines metallic silhouettes, which brighten into the letters, UA. Words move into place below. United Artists. Text appears. Aurora presents a Don Bluth production. In animation, a candle illuminates a dark chamber. An old rat with droopy white whiskers sits at a desk. The rat uses a quill to write in a book. As he writes, the words glow with magical light, then fade into ink on the page.
Was killed today while helping with the plan. It is 4 years since our departure from Nim, and our world is changing. We cannot stay here much longer. Jonathan was a dear friend. I am lost in knowing how to help his widow. She knows nothing of us or the plan.
He dips his quill into a bottle of glowing ink and continues writing.
Perhaps best that I do nothing at present. I shall miss him.
He signs his name at the bottom of the page, Nicodemus. Now he holds an amulet.
Jonathan, wherever you are, your thoughts must comfort her tonight. She'll be waiting, and you will not return.
The red amulet hangs from a gold chain. The rat gently sets the amulet necklace into a jewelry box and shuts it.
Farewell, my friend.
On a black screen, words appear, glowing with magical light. Title, The Secret of Nim. The magical light brightens, then bursts into golden fireworks that fizzle out in the night sky. Twinkling stars appear. Opening credits, with the voice talents of Hermione Baddeley, John Carradine, Dom DeLuise, Elizabeth Hartman, Derek Jacobi, Arthur Mallett, Paul Schoenen, Peter Strauss. Music by Jerry Goldsmith. Executive producers, Rich Levine, James L. Stewart. Produced by Don Bluth, John Pomeroy, Gary Goldman. Directed by Don Bluth. Night fades into daytime. A two-story farmhouse with a porch stands beside a sprawling field of wheat. In the field, a rusty piece of machinery sits unmoving. The machine shakes and smoke rises from it. Inside the machine, a mouse wearing a red cape looks around.
Mr. Ages? Mr. Ages? Is anybody home?
Go away!
Mr. Ages?
What is it?
Mr. Ages, may I please speak to you?
What?
I said, may I please speak with you? Oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad you're home.
You confounded machine. You never know when it's gonna up and blow.
Yes. I don't suppose you would remember me.
Yes, you're Mrs. Brisby. And I'm sorry about your husband's death. Now, if you'd excuse me.
Mr. Ages!
Great Jupiter, woman, what do you want?
Mr. Ages, I know you don't like visitors, but this is an emergency. Please.
An explosion in the machine sends the Gray Mouse, Mr. Ages, tumbling backward and down a well. Mrs. Brisby finds him in a basket dangling from a rope.
Madam, that is an emergency.
Oh, Mr. Ages, my son Timothy is so sick.
Timmy? The one with the spider bite? Oh, just give him some Pepto-Bismol.
No! No, he's sick with a fever.
Well, I suppose I could fix up something.
Oh, thank you.
Follow me, but don't touch anything. Understand?
I do appreciate it.
Just how high is his fever?
He's burning hot to the touch.
Yes.
He's soaking wet with perspiration.
Yes.
And there's a raspy sound when he breathes.
She joins him in the basket, and he uses a pulley to lower the basket into another space.
Does he have a chill?
Yes, he does.
Have you wrapped him in a blanket?
Yes.
Now step inside, but keep your hands to yourself. I'm right in the middle of something very important.
I understand.
Oh, do you?
Aegis clears bugs away from a work table.
Oh, look at this mess. Oh, shoo, go on. Your son has pneumonia.
Pneumonia?
It's not uncommon, but you can die from it.
Oh, please, dear God, no.
Your son must stay in bed. Bundle him up.
Mr. Aegis heats up a potion.
Not to go outside.
But how long?
3 weeks. He cannot be moved for at least 3 weeks.
But moving day is nearly here.
You asked my advice and I gave it to you.
I'm sorry.
He must stay in bed. Now mix this powder in a broth and make him drink it. It'll bring down the fever.
Oh, bless you, sir.
And bless yourself. You'll need it. Now, you must excuse me. You know the way out.
Oh, of course. Thank you once again.
Oh, shoo. Go on now. Go on.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
She clutches the envelope he gave her. Now outside, Mrs. Brisby's tattered red cape flutters over her brown fur as she scurries through a swampy area. Inside a hollow log, she spots a crow at the end of the log. The crow's legs are tangled in red string. Mrs. Brisby crawls through a hole to the top of the log and scurries toward the mess of red string caught on a twig. She peers over the edge of the log to see the crow hanging upside down.
Is everything all right here?
Oh, lady, don't sneak up on me like that.
I didn't mean to frighten you.
Oh, you didn't frighten me. I was just sort of working out. You just broke my concentration.
You look more like you're all tangled up.
He climbs up.
Yeah, I guess that's enough exercise for one day. Besides, I'm really after this terrific string. I'm working on a love nest for two. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. You have a girl.
Well, not really. I mean, I haven't found Miss Wright yet. But when I do, the whole world will hear us singing.
He falls into the water, then climbs back up.
Excuse me, pardon me.
Well, you keep making all that noise and Dragon will hear you, if he hasn't already.
Wouldn't you sing too? I mean, if you felt... if you felt the call of the wild, but...
I would not, but if I knew there was a cat nearby.
She bites through a strand of string.
But she's out there, somewhere. And when I find her, I'll feel it way down in my wishbone. What cat?
Dragon. He belongs to Farmer Fitzgibbons. Look towards the house. See if you can see him.
The crow flies to a perch.
Come back down here. He'll see you for sure up there.
Hey, there's a cat out there.
Quiet. Does he see you?
No. Yes.
Stand perfectly still.
Everything's fine. He's headed right for us.
Don't panic. Fast or slow?
Medium. Make that fast. Very fast. I have to go now. Excuse me.
He flutters, still tangled in the string, and knocks Mrs. Brisby back. She bites through another strand, and they both peek upside down into the hollow log.
Oh, my goodness.
A rabbit rushes toward them.
It's a rabbit. Well, of all the silly nincompoops, you got yourself. yourself all worked up over a rabbit.
You should have seen yourself.
You keep quiet.
You were scared stiff. A rabbit. I knew it all along.
Will you hush up?
Atop the log, she continues to try to free the crow, while a big mangy cat sneaks through the log.
If I had actually been near a cat, I'd be sneezing my brains out. See, I'm allergic to hay. I'm allergic to hay. I'm allergic to hay.
The cat sneaks up behind the crow, who turns and sneezes in his face.
Excuse me, pardon me.
The crow flies up, but the cat grabs the remaining string still caught around the crow. Mrs. Brisby bites through the string and the crow flies free. The cat lunges for Mrs. Brisby. The sharp-toothed cat smashes into a branch. Mrs. Brisby dodges him but drops her envelope of medicine. She scurries to fetch the envelope from the water. The cat jumps at her and they both fall into the shallow water. The crow flies back and pulls the cat's tail.
The string! Quick! Grab the string!
Mrs. Brisby grabs the string dangling from the crow and holds onto it as the crow flies her up to a tree. The cat leaps up and swipes at the mouse as she runs along a branch. She stops at the end of the branch and peers down at a waterfall below. Now on the branch behind her, the cat leaps at Mrs. Brisby. They both fall down the waterfall into the river below. At the bottom of the river, Mrs. Brisby struggles against the current, but manages to swim over to a water mill nearby. She hitches a ride on the wheel out of the water. Now, the crow peeks through a hole in the stone wall of the building attached to the water wheel. He spots Mrs. Brisby crying inside.
Hey, Miss Mouse, don't worry. I'm okay.
He goes to her.
See, I'm all right.
That's not the reason I'm crying. I lost Timmy's medicine.
Ah, don't cry. I hate to see a woman cry. Hey, was I great or was I great? Did you see that cat out there all dripping and wet with water?
I'll go back to Mr. Aegis tomorrow.
You weren't so bad yourself. Hey, we make a pretty good team. Oh, here, you dropped this back there. Nobody messes with old Jeremy boy, nobody.
That's it. Timmy's medicine. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Uh-huh. It is? What? It is? I mean, it is. Well, I saw it lying there, and I said, My name is Jeremy.
I'm Mrs. Brisby.
Thanks again. I have to go home now.
She rides a rope downward.
Where's home?
In the garden patch, by the stone.
Well, do you like me?
Of course I like you. I know.
No, I mean, you don't think I'm clumsy or anything. Wah!
He falls and gets tangled in a net.
Sorry. Excuse me, pardon me.
Well, if you're going to feather a nest, you've got a lot to learn about how to treat a lady.
Right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right. None of the girls I meet want to get serious.
I doubt they'd survive.
Huh? Maybe it's my approach. Say, you were a girl once. You could teach me how to,
behave yourself?
I'm not that bad. I just need a few pointers to polish my style.
Jeremy, I have got to go home.
Well, let me fly you home. We can talk on the way.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm afraid of heights.
Okay, then we'll walk.
Bye now.
He shakes netting off his leg as she leaves the mill, hopping onto lily pads to cross the river. He follows. The lily pads sink under his weight.
I think I got real potential. I mean, girls go for the athletic type, don't they?
Jeremy, you're stepping on my tail.
Excuse me, pardon.
Elsewhere, in a cozy little mouse hole in a hill, three young mice lounge around together.
Maybe I should go look for more.
I don't think so, Martin.
Brisby!
Auntie Shrew.
Oh, Auntie.
Oh, no.
Brisby!
She'll wake up Timothy.
Brisby!
She's not here.
Brisby!
Why is she always coming around here, poking her nose in where she's not wanted?
Martin!
Auntie Shrew enters, and the little girl mouse helps her out of her large scarf.
Thank you, child. I must speak with your mother.
Shrew dumps the scarf on the girl.
Your auntie is exhausted. Why me? That I alone should be responsible for the welfare of the entire field is monstrous. Brisby!
Mother isn't here. Auntie Shrew, Timmy's sick.
Cynthia, dearest, don't poor me. She's not here. She left you children alone, then.
I'm old enough.
Rats in the field, up to heaven knows what kind of mischief. Cynthia, dear, don't fidget. You're so like your mother.
I ain't scared of nothing.
She went to see Mr. Ages.
To Ages? That old flim-flam. Whatever for?
Auntie Shrew, Timmy's sick.
Patience, my pet. Why to Ages?
Timmy's sick. Timothy is very ill.
Timmy ill? How dreadful.
I'm not afraid of the dark.
What?
I'm not afraid of the farmer.
I can't hear.
I'm not even scared of dragon. I'm not even afraid of the great owl.
Will you hush up?
Aye, you hush up.
Martin.
Precocious monster.
Bossy bullfrog.
Spoiled brat.
Loud mouth.
Oh, well. That will be quite enough. Thank you.
Martin's sister helps Auntie put the scarf back on.
Cast not pearls before swine, I always say. And that includes impudent piglets. Good day.
The scarf catches and pulls Auntie down a set of stairs.
you impertinent little...
Martin! Auntie Shrew, what's going on?
Indeed.
Please, come back inside.
Not for a king's ransom. I have just one thing to say. That child is a brat.
Yes, I will speak to him.
I came here to inform you that the frost is off the ground and moving day is at hand. Prepare to move your very, very odd family. Good day. You never know what might be lurking about out there, what with rats in the field.
Well, children, now you've done it.
It was Martin.
The shrew means well. She only wants to help.
Mrs. Brisby walks to a fireplace. She takes a kettle hanging above the fire and pours water from the kettle into a bowl on a table. She adds the contents of Mr. Age's envelope, then takes the bowl to a bedroom.
Gosh, I'm sorry, Mom.
Mrs. Brisby sits at Timmy's bedside.
Dream by night, wish by day, love begins this way.
Timmy opens his eyes, and his mother feeds him the broth. Timmy's three siblings peek in, then little Cynthia rushes to his bedside while her big sister tries to stop her.
Bless your heart, bless your soul, let your dreams come true. Future songs and flying dreams wait for you.
Timmy sighs, and Cynthia turns her big eyes to her mother.
Is Timmy gonna die?
No, sweetheart. He's just very sick.
What's the matter with him, Mother?
Mr. Ages called it pneumonia.
Pneumonia? Well, will he get better?
Soon, I hope.
The family gathers around Timmy. Outside the Brisby home, fireflies twinkle among the grass and flowers.
Off to bed with you now.
At the farmhouse nearby, a second floor window opens and a power cord slinks out. A group of rats then sneak past the farmer's bedroom window, carrying the power cord into a thorny bush.
Dear, a man came by today from NIM.
NIM?
Yes, you know, the National Institute of Mental Health. He was asking if we had noticed anything strange with the rats on the farm. Well, I said no, nothing unusual.
Beth, I have to get up early.
Oh, it gave me goosebumps to hear him carry on that way. Like the rats might have some horrible disease. I told him you'd call him back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Blue light briefly flickers within the thorny bush. In the hazy morning, Mrs. Brisby wakes up in a bed near Timmy's. She carefully gets out of bed, gazing up to the ceiling. She puts on her red cape and heads outside. A cracked cooking pot discarded from the human world sits partly buried in the ground, providing shelter over the mouse hole. Mrs. Brisby stands in the shelter for a moment before venturing out. She scurries to the edge of a rock overlooking the wheat field. Long-nosed Auntie Shrew comes up behind her.
What did I tell you? Moving day.
It can't be.
It certainly can. I don't suppose you've packed.
What about Timmy? The chill in the air could kill him.
Well, child, that tractor surely will. For the last time, get your children out of here before it's too late.
Brisby and Shrew startle and turn to a tractor across the field.
Oh!
Auntie Shrew runs away.
The plow is here! Run for your lives! Run! It's moving day!
A rabbit thumps its foot on the ground, and other creatures emerge, wide-eyed.
Run! The plow is here!
Auntie Shrew races through a puddle. More rabbits emerge and thump against the ground, alerting the underground creatures. Gophers pop up from the dirt. Quails emerge with baby quails at their feet. The tractor pulls its plow closer to the animals' homes. Birds take flight, chipmunks race along the ground, followed by meadow-jumping mice who hop using their long back feet. A baby mole holds its mother by the tail as she runs. All kinds of animals run side by side through the fences marking the farmer's field. Mrs. Brisby now leads three of her children out of their home.
Brisby! Go get Timothy!
Please! Take the children out.
Mommy, we can't leave Timmy.
Go with Auntie Shrew. I've got to try and stop that thing.
Wait! You're out of your mind! Brisby, come back!
Mrs. Brisby races toward the tractor. She reaches it, grabs a chain dangling from the plow, and climbs up. She loses her balance and hangs by a string over the churning plow, then scrambles back up and clings to a metal bar. The unaware farmer drives his plowing tractor toward the Brisby home, where Timmy sleeps in his bed. Dirt begins to fall from the ceiling around Timmy. Outside, Auntie Shrew climbs onto the tractor.
Hang on! Keep up!
In the mouse hole, more dirt falls around Timmy. On the tractor, Auntie Shrew scurries to a set of cables. She pulls one of them out and it whips around, sparking with electricity. She runs to a tank with red liquid sloshing inside. She yanks on a hose connected to the tank and breaks it off. The liquid bursts out of the tank. Auntie Shrew falls to the ground. The tractor slows. Auntie Shrew rises from beneath a clump of dirt and rushes to the tractor.
Brisby!
Brisby lies quivering on the stalled tractor.
Come on, come on.
Auntie Shrew helps Mrs. Brisby up, and the two dash off as the farmer spots the broken hose.
What? Rotten luck. The fuel line's cut.
He'll come back tomorrow. I wish Jonathan were here.
Well, he's not.
Shrew and Brisby hide in the grass.
Stop it.
The mouse gathers herself.
What am I going to do?
We'll think of something. Come on, let's get out of here.
As they walk together, they are viewed through a magical portal in a dark chamber.
The great owl would know what to do about this. We must go see him.
I couldn't do that. Owls eat mice.
Well, my child, show a little courage. We're fighting for Timmy's life.
Jonathan, your wife, I fear, is in desperate trouble. A visit to the Great Owl may indeed be profitable. Go to the Owl then, Mrs. Brisby. Go there.
Nicodemus, the old rat with golden pools of light for eyes, stands before the portal and spreads his arms wide. The view in the portal shifts to Jeremy the Crow flying through the air with Mrs. Brisby on his back.
Nice evening, huh? I told you you'd love flying.
I don't know how I let you talk me into this.
Don't thank me, Miss Briz.
He climbs up and bursts through a cloud.
When we get to the Great Owl, he'll know just what to do about everything.
Owls eat mice.
Only after dark.
She clutches him as he soars over farmland, then descends into a forest of gnarled trees. Jeremy lands on a thick branch, and Mrs. Brisby slides off his back, clinging to one of his legs. He takes a few steps and looks around the dense forest.
That must be the owl's tree over there.
He flies to the dark tree with a hollow in it, carrying Mrs. Brisby in one of his curled talons. He lands on a branch near the hollow and releases Mrs. Brisby, who steps toward the opening. She stops right at the entrance to the tree hollow, peeking in at the cobwebs within. Jeremy leans over her shoulder.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Well, the place looks deserted. I guess we better get out of here.
Mrs. Brisby hides behind Jeremy's quivering legs. A cloud of dust bursts out of the hollow and knocks them both over.
Step inside my house.
Jeremy holds Mrs. Brisby like a teddy bear. She peeks out and he sets her down. His knees knock as he shakes. He pushes the wide-eyed Mrs. Brisby toward the hollow.
Come inside or go away.
Mrs. Brisby climbs over the jagged entrance of the tree hollow, pausing to clasp her hands near her heart.
Timothy. Remember Timothy.
She carefully steps further into the dim cave-like space. She turns to look all around her and accidentally kicks some bones, knocking them over a ledge. They land in a crevice full of bones, disturbing a moth. The moth flies at Mrs. Brisby's face, then flutters away. Mrs. Brisby cowers, looking around. She turns and continues forward. She does not notice a spider up above, now descending to follow behind her. The furry black spider stands almost as tall as Mrs. Brisby. The spider's red eyes glow, and it drools as it creeps closer to the mouse. Talon squashes the spider. Mrs. Brisby peers in horror at an owl towering over her. The owl glares at her with golden pools of light for eyes. It twists its head around. The owl moves closer to her. Mrs. Brisby backs up against a wall.
Why have you come?
Please, forgive me. For disturbing you, but my son's life is in great danger.
A moth flutters around and the owl eats it.
The plow has come early this year.
Move your family.
The great owl flaps his wings and items in the hollow shift. Bones fall around Mrs. Brisby.
Yes, I would move, but Timothy has pneumonia. He can't even get out of bed.
You must move to a place where it'll be safe from the plow.
Please, there must be another way.
There is no other way.
Mrs. Brisby slumps.
I must bid you good evening, Mrs.
Mrs. Brisby.
Brisby? Mrs. Jonathan Brisby?
Why, yes. He was my husband. But how do you know about him?
That is not important. I will say this. His name is not unknown in these woods.
Please, sir. I'll do anything to save Timmy. Anything.
There is a way. Go to the rats.
But I don't know any rats.
In the rose bush.
Oh, yes. Near the farmhouse.
Go there. Ask for Nicodemus.
Nicodemus? But how can they help?
They must move your house to the lee of the stone.
No rat could move my house. It's...
They have ways.
I don't understand, but I will do as you say.
It is night. I must go.
Mrs. Brisby scurries to hide as the Great Owl turns his massive body and takes heavy steps toward the opening. Cobwebs stick to his feathers and sway as he limps away.
Remember, the lee of the stone.
He exits past Jeremy, the mouse joins the crow, and they watch the owl take flight under a full moon.
What did he say?
He said to go to the rats.
Rats? What rats?
The lee of the stone.
In the morning light, Farmer Fitzgibbon's wife, Beth, hangs laundry on a clothesline outside. A pair of purple bloomers laying against a basket begins to walk away without Beth noticing. Jeremy's feet appear below the bundled bloomers as the disguised crow scuttles past the huge sleeping cat, Dragon. Jeremy sneaks to the thorny rose bush.
Mrs. Briz, Briz!
He trips over a branch.
Oh, excuse me, pardon me. Oh.
Jeremy? What on earth?
I'm in disguise.
Jeremy, please.
Me.
Not now. I'm trying to find the entrance. These thorns are very dense.
Here, let me help you.
He gets caught in thorns.
Will you be quiet?
I can.
They'll hear you.
Good.
I've got to find this Nicodemus before the farmer gets that tractor fixed.
I'll keep a lookout.
He flies up, but the snagged bloomers pull him down.
Will you? You're going to get us both killed.
I don't see anybody coming.
If you really wanted to help me, you'd go away.
Why, that's very brave of you, Mrs. Spears, but I can't leave you here alone. Why, if anything were to happen, think of the children.
That's it.
Huh? That's what?
Jeremy, someone strong should be protecting my children in case that tractor starts up again.
Oh, in case the tractor... Hey! How about me?
Oh, would you?
Yeah, sure. That'll be terrific practice. Girls can't resist a guy who's good with kids, you know. Domestic type. Play games, help out domestic.
Yes. Yes, domestic. Now, whatever you do, don't tell them where I am.
My lips are sealed, Mrs. Briz.
Bye.
Good luck with the rats.
He salutes her and turns to go.
Oh!
He returns.
Where do you live?
By that big stone in the garden. Just stay out of trouble.
Not to worry, Mrs. Frizz. I love kids, and kids love me. Kids love me, and I love kids.
He dances sideways and trips on the cat's paw. Dragon hugs him in his sleep. He tries to fly, but Dragon clasps the bloomers. He bursts out of the bloomers into the sky.
Dragon, you lazy kitty. Go catch some of those rats out in the barn. I've never seen a cat sleep so much.
She grabs her bloomers from Dragon. At the rosebush, Mrs. Brisby spots a hanging branch and pushes it. Through a system of riggings, a rodent-sized makeshift door opens ahead of her. She steps through. She carefully walks down a hallway formed by twisted thorn branches. A blue light flickers ahead, and some hanging vines twitch and spark around her. One vine snakes toward her and reaches out with a lasso. She darts away and turns to watch as the vine joins with other vines to create a net behind her. She pulls her cape tight around her and continues forward. The path slopes downward, and she passes a large upright disc with intricate markings. Before her, a carved skull as tall as she is suddenly glows with red light. She slides over a short ledge as the path takes a turn away from the skull. Now, she peeks through an opening into a vibrant green chamber. She starts to leave, then doubles back and takes a longer look into the high-ceiling chamber, where a winding green path leads to a palace made of giant white flowers. Mrs. Brisby walks along the path, under plants and flowers that rise above her and sparkle with dewdrops. Near the palace, glowing flowers close up when the mouse turns to them. A weapon slams down before her. She looks up at a rat guard towering over her.
Hello. I'm Mrs. Brisby. I was told to see Nicodemus. Are you Nicodemus?
His weapon sparks.
Please. I need help.
The rat pokes his spear-like weapon at her cape, creating ripples of blue electricity that spark and fade away. Brisby leaps off the path and hangs on a vine. The rat cuts the vine and she falls into a shallow pool of water. The rat jumps down after her, chasing her with his sparking spear. The spear rips the curtains surrounding the entrance as Mrs. Brisby flees the green chamber and races back into the darkness. She makes it to the upright disc and stops to hide.
Who goes there?
It's me.
Mrs. Brisby? What are you doing here?
Mr. Ages frowns.
Oh, thank goodness it's you.
How in thunder did you get in here?
The plow has come early to the field.
Well, you had better march straight back out the way you came.
I can't bring Timothy out. The chill in the air will kill him.
That's another matter. That doesn't explain what you're doing here.
And that big rat chased me away. But I must see Nicodemus. The owl told me to see Nicodemus.
Well, yes, perhaps you should... The owl said?
She nods.
Here now, what owl? What are you talking about?
I went to see the great owl.
Owl? You say you saw the owl?
Yes. And he said I should ask for Nicodemus.
I know Nicodemus.
He lives with the rats.
More specifically, he's the leader of the rats.
You know him?
No one has ever seen the owl and lived to tell about it.
Please, could you take me to see Nicodemus?
Yes. But for your sake, I hope you're telling the truth. Come on.
What about the large rat at the entrance? I can't go back there. I can't.
Oh, that's just Brutus. Follow me. Well?
She follows him as he uses a crutch to hop along on one foot, a cast on the other. Nicodemus watches them through his portal.
Jonathan, your wife has come at last. Perhaps now I can repay you for your kindness to me. Yet Mrs. Brisby will serve the rats of Nim far more than we her. Jenna, I fear, could do her harm. He is consumed by a lust for power. Thus far, the amulet has remained safely hidden. But if he finds it, heaven help us.
Nicodemus cups the amulet in his age-spotted hands. Mrs. Brisby trails behind Mr. Ages.
Forgive me, I just noticed you're limping.
That's none of your affair. Now, to what you are about to see and hear, you must swear absolute secrecy.
Yes, I understand.
Swear it.
I promise.
If any of this ever got out, we'd have humankind bulldozing their way down here to blow the place apart.
Is it always so dark?
We're down 3 feet.
Colored light bulbs glow around them. Mrs. Brisby gazes at the lights. The two mice pass a line of toy soldiers that rise above them. A rat disguised as one of the toy soldiers slinks out of formation and sneaks behind the mice. The rat grabs Mr. Ages.
Reveal thy name.
Justin, you featherhead. Get your hands off me.
Okay, just a joke. I didn't mean any harm.
The meeting's already in progress.
What's this all about?
Who may I ask?
Oh, yes, she can be trusted. This is no stranger. My dear, may I present Justin, the captain of the guard. Justin, Mrs. Brisby.
Not Mrs. Jonathan Brisby.
Yes, the same.
It is an honor and a privilege, my lady.
If we could dispense with the formalities.
How beautiful.
Ma'am?
The lights. They're quite lovely.
Yes, they are. We've had electricity for 4 years now.
5.
Jonathan often spoke of electricity.
But you see, our shame is that we're stealing it from Farmer Fitzgibbons.
Stealing?
All of that is going to change.
He means we're working on a plan.
I mean that we have a plan, and this stealing will stop. Now, yes, well, why did you send for me?
The trio takes a makeshift elevator down through water.
It's Jenner. He's at it again.
Oh, there blows an ill wind.
He's before the council now. This time he's attacking Nicodemus openly.
And the plan, no doubt.
Nothing will come of it. It'll pass.
Beware, boy. He's dangerous. Jenner could be the undoing of the rats and him.
The elevator stops on a floor. The opening above them seals itself, and water drains from this new space. They exit the elevator.
I'm sorry to come here at such a bad time. I suppose...
No, sweet lady. You are welcome here. We tend to take ourselves a little too seriously.
Justin helps Mrs. Brisby down a step, and the trio walks past a storage area toward a closed door.
The plan is nothing but folly, a doddering old fool's fantasy. Nicodemus would have us destroy this colony only to lead us to starvation in some wilderness.
Good old Jenner.
Wait, listen.
Moving to Thorn Valley is a good plan.
Fie! We have everything we need right here.
You mean we steal everything we need?
Well, come on, you suspicious old goat.
If we stay here, humans are bound to discover us.
They'd destroy us on the spot.
I agree.
He's right. We'll be killed.
Not if we got them first.
He means war.
We'd be outnumbered.
There are too many of them.
Hear me. The Thorn Valley plan is the aspiration of idiots and dreamers. We...
We were just talking about you.
That's refreshing, Jenner. Usually you're screaming about us.
Who is that? You know the rules. There are no visitors allowed here.
May I present Mrs. Jonathan Brisby?
She curtsies.
Jonathan Brisby is dead. She's not one of us. What's the meaning of this?
Send her away.
Let's get back to business.
Wait. She has been to see the great owl. He has told her that we could move the Brisby home to safety.
Her home was Jonathan's home.
We have urgent problems of our own. Let the lower creatures fend for themselves.
Jenner leans close to the rat who just spoke.
Order. Order.
Wait, my friend. I smell an opportunity. Maneuvers of this nature are dangerous. Accidents could happen.
Accident?
Jenner?
I'll explain later. Mrs. Brisby, 1,000 pardons, my dear. Forgive the ill temper of my colleague. It would be an honor to assist Jonathan's widow in any way. We are but your humble servants.
I second
Jenner,
the motion.
A rat with thick eyebrows and an elegant cape, bows to Brisby and walks away.
He's up to something. Take Mrs. Brisby to the library. We'll approach Nicodemus when the meeting's over.
The kind-faced captain of the guard guides Mrs. Brisby out of the meeting. Outside the Brisby home, Auntie Shrew intricately ties up Jeremy the Crow.
Okay, now, wait a minute. This isn't what you think. You don't understand what I'm doing here.
Think you can come snooping about, looting and pilfering, just when everyone's away?
Well, let me explain. Oh, what a lovely hat you're wearing.
Don't you sweet talk me. I know you're in league with those awful rats.
Rats? What rats?
Hoodlums, the lot of you.
Why did you say rats?
You think the world owes you a living, right?
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong. Oh, look, nice lady. You're making a mistake.
The sooner you delinquents learn that you must earn your own way.
Wait, can't we, can't we talk this over?
The sooner, the better.
You can't leave me like this. There's a cat. There's a cat. He's a very big penny man. Any man.
Good. Good riddance. Theresa, Martin, that's the least you deserve.
Auntie!
There you are! Keep an eye on this hooligan. Make sure he doesn't get away until I can fetch help. And as for you, you black buzzard, I wouldn't try anything. I shall return.
She leaves. Martin and Cynthia join Teresa.
Well, I guess we better untie him.
But Martin!
Hey!
Mom helped the crow in the field the day before yesterday.
He's trying to talk.
He looks like a loony.
He even took her to see the great owl.
So?
This could be the same crow.
He unties Jeremy's beak.
That's me, I am the crow. Untie me quick. I can't stand it.
What are you doing here?
Oh, it's a good question, but don't ask. The legs!
Or the poor turkey fell down.
I'm not a turkey. Your mother has...
Where's our mother?
Wait, hold
you
it.
Big
no,
buzzard.
Stop.
Where's our mother?
Get done with her. You better kill
you're
her
tickling.
Or I'll
Stop.
Tie you back up.
The rose bush to see the rats.
Did you take our mother to the rats?
Well, I'm going to go look for her.
No, listen. Hold on, wait a minute. The rats, they're friendly. Good tonight. Stay. They're coming here to move your house where it's safe. Understand? Hey, the owl said they're good and smart. Get it?
You're right. He's a loony.
Oh, no. Oh, don't. You must. No, don't do this.
Martin reties his beak. Deep in the rosebush, Mrs. Brisby follows Mr. Ages past a waterfall.
Now, don't tire him out.
No.
Be brief.
Yes.
Say what you want, then leave.
I won't be a bother.
Justin bothers him enough with all his silly nonsense. Here we are.
Thank you, Mr. Ages.
I don't know what Nicodemus sees in that boy. I'll come back for you.
He leaves her outside a wooden door. She watches him hobble away.
Brief.
She turns to the door. She clasps her hands together before her, then reaches one hand to the curved metal doorknob. It moves before she touches it. Beams of blue light pour from the room beyond the slowly opening door. Mrs. Brisby backs away and curls up on the ground, shielding her face. The light vanishes, and she peeks at the doorway. She takes small steps toward it, and enters a hazy chamber with trees for pillars. Purple light glows at their roots. Nicodemus sits on a throne of twisted branches.
Come closer, my child. Don't be frightened.
Sir, the great owl sent me to you.
Oh, did he? He is a dear comrade. Closer. Ah, Mrs. Jonathan Brisby. What an honor this is.
How is it that everyone knows Jonathan?
He was a great friend to the rats of Nim. He himself came from Nim.
Majesty, my family is...
I know of your needs. There is a book there. Read the words.
I can read a little. Jonathan taught me. The children are better at it than I am.
The book opens and glows before her eyes.
Read.
She reads from the large book.
Jonathan Brisby made possible the rat's escape from the terrible cruelty of Nim. Jonathan? He was killed today while drugging the farmer's cat, Dragon. I never knew just what happened. Why did he never tell me about any of you? Why?
To answer that, I must tell you about Nim and our plan. Go. Look there.
He points her toward a device made of a standing frame around a suspended golden hoop. The hoop begins to spin, causing a gust of wind that she shields herself from. The spinning hoop turns different colors, and finally a portal appears, where scenes are played out before Mrs. Brisby's eyes as Nicodemus speaks.
In the beginning, we were ordinary street rats, stealing our daily bread and living off the efforts of man's work. We were captured, put in cages, and sent to a place called Nim. There were many animals there, in cages. They were put through the most unspeakable tortures. To satisfy some scientific curiosity. Often at night, I would hear them crying out in anguish. 20 rats and 11 mice were given injections. Our world began changing.
The portal shows many rats moving as if falling down a dreamlike hole. Now one rat doubles over, clutching its stomach and twitching as a red ball of light pulses in its body. Kaleidoscopic colors and patterns appear, then objects like cells inside a body are shown crackling with electricity. The image shifts to Nim, with a wall of cages stacked atop each other.
Then, one night, I looked upon the words under the cage door and understood them.
A sign reads, "To open door, lift latch." A rat reaches through the cage bars and lifts the latch.
We had become intelligent. We could read. The miracle was kept secret from the scientists. And in the quiet of the night, we escaped through the ventilation system. The mice were blown away. Sucked down dark air shafts to their deaths. All except two, Jonathan and Mr. Ages. We were trapped by a locked door on the roof.
A mouse slips through and unlocks it.
It was Jonathan who made possible the unlocking of the door.
The portal fades on an image of the gray mouse, Jonathan smiling and wiping his brow. Mrs. Brisby bows her head.
I have a gift. Come. Jonathan meant it for you.
Nicodemus shows her the amulet.
Worn by one with a courageous heart, the stone glows red. It becomes a blinding radiance. Courage of the heart is very rare. The stone has a power when it's there.
Look, an inscription. You can unlock any door if you only have the key. Thank you. I will treasure it always.
Jonathan couldn't tell you about Nim because the injections slowed the aging process. You see, you would have grown old while he remained young.
Nicodemus, the boats are ready and waiting. We can leave any time.
Good. My child, shall we journey to your home?
Sir?
Tonight, we must move your house to the protected side of the stone.
The Lee of the Stone?
Yes.
She wears the amulet and leaves the chamber with Nicodemus. Jenner and his sidekick spy on them.
I don't get it.
With Nicodemus out of the way, what's to stop us from taking over?
Jenner, you can't kill Nicodemus.
No taste for blood, huh? They've taken the animal out of you.
What if we're discovered?
Listen, the Brisby house is a large cement block. In the moving, what if it should fall?
An accident?
Of course. Cut the lines, and the weight of it will crush his bones.
It's risky.
Once rid of Nicodemus, the plan will die. We can stay here as long as we like.
What about Justin?
Leave him to me. To me.
Elsewhere, Mrs. Brisby and Nicodemus sit in a boat as Justin rows them through a cavern.
Sometimes, when we have a long project that takes us into the open, Mr. Aegis makes up a sleeping powder to give to Dragon.
How do you get him to take it?
Someone must go into the farmhouse kitchen and put it in his dish. The only way into the kitchen is through a tiny hole in the floor. Aegis tried it yesterday. That's how he broke his leg. Right.
A stalactite falls near them, rocking the boat.
That was close.
What's up there?
The mill. It's falling apart. Hope it stays up there. At least until we've done with the plan.
Plan? What is the plan?
To live without stealing, of course.
It's wrong to take electricity from the farmer.
My child, we can no longer live as rats. We know too much.
We're almost there.
Your Majesty, I should go prepare the children for tonight.
We shall wait here until dark.
About Dragon, maybe?
She exits the boat.
Oh, nothing. Goodbye.
She starts down a path in the cavern. She hops across a stone bridge beside a waterfall, then turns around and hops back, scurrying to Nicodemus.
I volunteer for Dragon.
Oh, no, Mrs. Brisby. Nicodemus, this is no job for her.
Leave.
As you wish.
All right. I'll meet you at the west side of the farmhouse at dusk.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I must be crazy. Goodbye. I must be crazy.
She hops across the bridge again as Justin ties the boat to a dock, and other rats in boats float up. Outside, Mrs. Brisby hops from rock to rock across the swampy area. She stops as a lily pad floats up to her. Jeremy pops up wearing the lily pad on his head.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Jeremy?
Shh. I'm being followed.
Followed?
There's a crazy lady with a hat. She's got big teeth. She tied me up. And in a
He spots the amulet.
Ooh. A sparkly.
What?
You're wearing a sparkly. Can I hold? Oh, please. Can I?
Jeremy, listen. I need lots and lots of string.
String?
To move the block.
Move the block. Hey, I've got strings. I've been saving them.
You do?
Oh, sure. Red ones, blue ones, green, yellow.
Pay attention. Go get all the string you can.
Okay. That'll take all day.
Good. Get going.
He goes underwater and uses his breathing straw, then hops back on the rock.
I just thought I'd mention in passing. I've always invented a sparkly of my very own.
Will you get going?
Sure. Excuse me. A pie.
He bumps into rocks as he swims away. At night in the farmhouse, Mrs. Brisby and Justin creep to a hole under the floorboards.
Won't be long now. She's washing the dishes. Here's the powder. Nervous?
Very.
Don't be. You'll be okay.
I hope I haven't upset your plans.
Nonsense. What makes you say that?
I thought I might have caused an argument.
Oh, you mean Jenner? No problem.
Justin, I sincerely hope you make it to Thorn Valley.
We will.
They pause at the hole.
Mrs. Fitzgibbons is filling Dragon's Ball. Get ready.
Brisby climbs through the hole.
Better leave that cape. Could get caught on something.
She hands her cape and amulet to Justin.
Here's the powder.
I don't think I can do this.
Yes, you can. Now take a deep breath. Concentrate on the ball. Don't look at the door. Steady.
She stands, quivering.
Okay, Dragon, I'm coming.
Steady.
There we go.
Now!
She darts out from under a piece of furniture and jumps up into Dragon's food bowl. She drops the powder in the food and runs.
Get back!
A bowl comes down over her head.
Mom, don't let the cat in yet. I've caught a mouse.
A mouse?
Can I keep it? Can I?
No, Billy. Put it outside.
Damn.
Oh, Mom, please. I can keep it in Porky's old cage.
Justin heads under the house and outside.
Come on, Jackie.
I'll have to come back for you later.
In the Brisby home, Auntie Shrew and the children wash clothes.
Rats?
They'll be here any minute. Move our house over there by the stone.
Wrong.
Actually, move it.
Not while I'm keeping watch.
Auntie Shrew, I'm not afraid.
Afraid, child? I have no fear of those great hulking beasts. And should one of those hairy barbarians come through that door... Oh, the rats!
In the farmhouse kitchen, Mrs. Brisby stands in a birdcage with her head bowed. Farmer Fitzgibbons wears a robe and slippers as he comes down a nearby staircase to answer the phone.
I'm coming. Hold your horses. Hello?
Who? Nim. Oh, yeah, Nim. Yes, I know. You called about the rats.
I don't know nothing about any special behavior, but the traps sure don't work in the morning.
Well, suits me fine. No, you can bulldoze that rose bush right out of there. I want those rats exterminated. Now, there's no charge. Good. Okay, well...
I'll see you in the morning. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Nim, they're coming here. I must warn Justin.
Mrs. Brisby hops up to the cage door and shakes it. It remains locked. Outside in the rain, the rats work together to move the Brisby home. The rats use an intricate pulley system. Many rats on the muddy ground push a large gear together, causing the pulley to lift the cinder block out of the hill it was nestled within. Inside the cinder block home, Auntie Shrew and the children and furniture get jostled around. A fallen object knocks Shrew out.
Martin! Auntie's afraid.
Outside, the pulley lifts the cinder block high above the ground.
Pull on the in-hole. Careful! Easy does it.
Nicodemus is cooperating beautifully.
Jenner!
Standing in just the right spot.
Jenner, I can't do it.
When that block reaches midway, you cut the line.
Don't
get any ideas, my friend. You're in this up to your neck.
Come on, mates. Put your backs into it.
In the farmhouse, Mrs. Brisby untwists the wire that holds the cage door shut. The wire twists back and she gets thrown to the cage floor. She stands and examines a bleeding scratch on her arm. She dips her wounded arm into the cage's water dish. She notices that the water dish sits partly outside the cage. She dives into the water, coming up on the other side of the bars in a space too tight for her body. She hops out and tries to push the dish, then dives into it again, pushing it from within. Outside, Jenner watches the cinder block move overhead.
Ready with the knife.
Jenner's sidekick frowns as the block approaches Nicodemus.
Ready. Cut now.
Jenner starts to cut the line. The sidekick drops his sword and backs away. Jenner succeeds and the rats lose control of the gear. The pulley system crashes down on Nicodemus and the cinder block plummets to the muddy ground. A candle inside the home gets knocked over and the flame catches on a piece of furniture. Outside, Justin and others rush to the pile of debris.
Okay, help me. We've got to hurry.
They move pieces of wood and climb into the pile holding torches.
Come on, come on. We're coming.
Justin rushes ahead of the others.
Okay. I see him.
His feet slosh through water. He stops by a wooden beam and stares ahead.
Nicodemus. Oh, no.
Nicodemus' unmoving arm is visible from beneath a fallen pulley. In the farmhouse, Mrs. Brisby pushes the water dish, then dives back into it. She comes up on the other side of the bars and holds onto them as she tries to push the dish out. The dish falls and takes her with it, but she catches the edge of the cage. She pulls herself up and peers down at the long drop to the kitchen floor. She turns around and reaches a hand through the bars, grabbing a loose thread from a blanket inside the cage. She pulls the thread, turns back around, swallows, and steps off the ledge holding the thread. The thread unravels to get her almost all the way to the floor. She falls a short distance and slides across the tiles to where Dragon sleeps. She creeps backward away from the huge cat. She leaves through the hole in the floor and finds her cape and amulet. Outside, Jenner addresses the rats.
Friends, we cannot move the Brisby home.
We just can't leave it here, in the mud.
The equipment is a shambles. One day we shall journey to Thorn Valley, just as Nicodemus wanted. But not now.
Justin!
This is Brisby.
Come, let us return to the Rosebush, where we belong.
Mrs. Brisby runs up.
Oh, Mr. Aegis. What happened? Oh, the children!
They're fine. Nicodemus.
She hugs him. Jenner peers at her.
You're in great danger. Nim is coming.
Come, come, let's return to the Rosebush.
Nim is coming.
Nim?
In the morning.
Nim?
Yes. You will all die unless you leave the farm tonight.
Lies.
Please, you must believe me.
What if it's true?
We'll all be killed.
Don't panic.
Don't listen. She's hysterical.
Get out now.
He strikes her.
You get out. I've had enough.
He draws his sword. His former sidekick runs to get Justin while Jenner chases Brisby, slashing and missing as she dodges.
Jenner, stop this.
Jenner notices the amulet.
Stone.
Jenner!
Get out of my way!
This bar, Jenner cuts Justin's arm.
I want that stone.
He tackles her.
Jenner!
Justin kicks him off her.
Justin!
My sword!
The sidekick tosses Justin his sword. Jenner attacks and cuts the sidekick, who falls in the mud. Jenner turns to Justin, and they duel atop the cinder block. Justin spins away from a slash and climbs up a nearby rock to take cover from Jenner.
It was you.
Jenner hits the rock.
You did it. You killed Nicodemus. That was no accident.
Yes, I killed him.
Jenner climbs up to Justin, and they wrestle between sword swings. Jenner forces Justin to the ground, but Justin kicks him away. Jenner slides across the rock and Justin leaps at him. They fight, but Justin loses his balance and falls into the mud.
He wanted to destroy everything.
Jenner climbs down.
I've learned this much. Take what you can, when you can.
Then you've learned nothing.
Jenner raises his sword overhead. Justin kicks a piece of wood at him, then leaps over it and stabs Jenner. Jenner drops his sword and clutches his stomach. Other rats watch wide-eyed. Justin tosses his sword down and faces them.
Friends, tonight we journey to Thorn Valley. We will leave no tracks.
Jenner grabs his sword and sneaks behind Justin.
No evidence that the Rats of Nim ever existed. Come.
Jenner stands on a rock above Justin and raises his sword. The sidekick flings a knife at Jenner and strikes him in the back. Jenner falls face down in the mud and lies unmoving. The sidekick closes his eyes and slumps. Mrs. Brisby hangs her head, turns and walks away from the gathered rats. She stops to glance back, then continues through the mud toward the cinder block.
Hello? Anybody up there?
Martin?
Mom! Mother, are we almost moved?
Soon now.
She leans her back against the cinder block and buries her face in her hands. Around her, the mud begins to bubble.
What?
Justin turns to look.
Come on.
There must be a... There must be a cave in below.
Here, tie these lines together. I'll get a line around the stone.
Now, Brutus, quick, get some rope.
Inside, Teresa, Martin, and Cynthia climb onto furniture to get out of the rising mud.
Mother! What's all that black stuff?
Come on, Teresa, get up on the table.
What about Timmy? Get us out of here! Mother!
Outside, the rats scramble to attach more ropes to the sinking cinder block. Mrs. Brisby helps from atop the block. Mud splashes her.
Justin!
Hurry!
Justin!
Hang
on!
Oh my God!
Inside, Cynthia slips into the mud.
Grab onto my foot!
I can't breathe!
She grabs her sister's foot, the rigging outside snaps and the cinder block and Mrs. Brisby vanish into the bubbling mud. Justin races over.
Oh no, come on!
Sinking farther!
We're losing it!
Mrs. Brisby and the amulet suddenly shoot upward out of the mud. The amulet sinks back down and Justin grabs Mrs. Brisby. Justin has a rope tied around his waist. The other rats pull the rope to bring him safely out of the mud with Mrs. Brisby, who struggles against him, staring wide-eyed at the mud. The amulet shoots back out of the water, glowing red, and flies over to Mrs. Brisby. Within the shining amulet, Nicodemus appears.
Courage of the heart is very rare. The stone has a power when it's there.
The stone.
Mrs. Brisby stares at the hovering amulet, then reaches up to grab it. The amulet catches fire. Mrs. Brisby releases it, then tries again, clasping it firmly in both hands. Red light moves briefly through her body, and then she begins to radiate golden light, as if sunshine was coming from her small body. The amulet settles around her neck, she closes her eyes, and a calm look comes over her face as she touches a rope connected to the cinder block. Fiery red light travels the length of the rope, the mud bubbles and glows red. More bubbles erupt from the mud, and golden light streaks and sparkles out of the sludge as the cinder block appears. It magically rises out of the mud and up into the air, hovering as fireworks glitter around it. Still radiating bright light, Mrs. Brisby calmly watches the cinder block as it now floats through the air toward the lee, or sheltered side, of a tall curved stone. The cinder block slowly turns in the air, then lowers to the ground. The red light travels through the rope again, passing back to Mrs. Brisby, who releases the rope. Her radiant light fades away, and she crumples to the ground weakly. The rats watch with open mouths. Later, daylight shines over the farm. Two vans marked Nim are parked near the rosebush at the farmhouse. Outside their home in the shelter of the tall curved stone, Teresa bandages her mother's hands. Cynthia sits near them and cuddles a lanky purple teddy bear. In the window, Timothy appears.
Mama, I'm tired of bed. I want to get up.
Well, you're not getting up.
Miss Briz, oh, Briz, where are you?
Over here.
Here it is. I brought the whole nest. There's plenty more where this came from, too. I got connections. Hey, your house has moved. Oh, no.
What am I going to do with all this string?
You'll think of something.
What's the use? What's a guy like me going to do with a love nest anyway?
He slumps. Another crow crashes into him and they fall in a clump of grass.
Excuse me,
pardon me.
Look, Mommy, another turkey.
Stay right there.
Miss Briz, let me have the sparkly. I gotta have the sparkly.
Miss B, I gotta have it.
Girls can't resist a sparkly. Oh, please. Please.
I gave it to Justin.
Justin? Who the heck is Justin?
The leader of the rats.
The leader of the rats.
How could you do this to me? What'll I say, Mrs. B? What'll I do?
Well, just be athletic.
Oh, that's right. Athletic. I'll just be a little bit.
He trips over Cynthia. Jeremy and the lady crow are both tangled in string from Jeremy's collection.
Mother, did the rats really go to Thorn Valley?
Yes, they did.
Will we ever see them?
Perhaps.
Today.
No. When you're older.
Oh, Auntie Shrew.
Oh, Auntie.
Oh, no.
Over the mouse family, the two crows fly into the blue sky, carrying string in their claws together. They soar through the air, connected by the colorful string. They playfully pass sideways across each other, keeping hold of the string that connects them. The blue sky turns golden with sunset. The laughing creatures continue onward toward the light. Text appears, the end. Credits roll.
Dream by night, wish by day, love begins this way. Loving starts when open hearts touch and stay. Sleep for now, dreaming's how lovers' lives are planned. Future songs and flying dreams hand in hand. Love, it seems, made flying dreams so hearts could soar. Heaven sent these wings were meant to prove once more that love is the key. Love is the key. You and I touch the sky, the eagle and the dove. Nightingales, we keep our sails filled with love. And love, it seems, made flying dreams to bring you home to me. It seems, made flying dreams so hearts could soar. Heaven sent these wings were meant to prove once more that love is the key. Love is the key. You and I touch the sky, the eagle and the dove. Nightingales, we keep our sails filled with love. Ever strong, our future song, to sing it must be free. Every part is from the heart, and love is still the key. And love, it seems, made flying dreams to bring you home.
Copyright Mrs. Brisby Limited, 1982. All rights reserved. An Aurora presentation. A Don Bluth production. The Secret of Nim. From MGM UA Entertainment Company. Logo, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.